And get started. Okay. Starting on, I'm going into Shulas Hases. So until now, we were dealing with Shulas Modim Mikzas and figuring out when do you make a Shulas Modim Mikzas? Why do you make a Shulas Modim Mikzas? Then the Gemara turns around and says, okay, the Shvua that we're talking about in our Mishnah of Shnayim Ochsin is not a Shvuas Modim Mikzas, right? Because each one of them has their half, and there's no reason to, you know, suspect that one of them deserves their half more than the other. So, what do we do? It says the Gemara, right? Hahu, So who raya dehavu masrile koyomach yusa v'sahad. So now we're gonna kind of bring a support to a different option of why what the shvuah is. So there's a certain shepherd, and every day they used to bring him the sheep, you know, and with edim, they used to bring edim to witness the fact that they're giving over the sheep to him. I guess they didn't trust him that much. Yomachad Masrule below Sahad. One day they were like, they couldn't find the Edim, you know, and they're like, we trust you. You know, it's like that one time when they give you, I don't know, whatever it is that they're letting you borrow, and they don't make you give them your driver's license until you take it back. Because they're like, you always borrow this and you always give it back. Of course, like, you can have it. And the one time you lend it to the guy without his driver's license, obviously they forget to bring it back or they make off with it. So, right? Masule below Sahadi. Lasof Amalahu. What are you talking about? You never gave me the sheep to watch. And I don't even know what you're talking about. There are no sheep today. Asu Sahadi Ashidube the Achal Tartimnayu. And then two witnesses come and say, like, actually, we just saw you eat two of them. So I guess they, like, their role was a cyclops. So he munched down two of them. So Amar of Zera, im Isa l'drbichia kamaisa, mishtavei ashara. So Reb Zera says, if you hold like Reb Chia kamaisa, that if you have edim on part of the claim, you have to make a shavua on the rest. So then in this case too, right, Cyclops needs to make a shavua that he did not get the rest of the sheep, because we have edim that he ate two of them. So Amar Abaya, im Isa mishtabeya, hagazlanhu. Wait a second, how can we make him make a shavua, right? He has been proven to be a thief. So Amr, or in the case of Cyclops, he's Mashem Bodazar. Amr Lay, Shekinegdo Kaminas. He said, right? It's the other guy has to make the Shvua. It's called flipping the Shvua. Hashtanami, Delese Derbchia, Nechaide Midar. Okay, we'll take a pause for a second. He says, so we'll flip the Shvua. The person who wants the money, right, can make a Shvua and collect. A Shvua Nishba Ve Notel. Okay, basically the idea is that really you're Chayav Shvua, since you can't make the Shvua. Instead of just making you pay without the Shavua, because you're possible Shavua, we let the other guy make the Shavua, or we make the Toveya, the person claiming the money, make the Shavua, and then he can collect. Okay? So Hashtanami, the Lay Sailor Debchia, Nechaive Midrav Nachman. This is okay, even without Rebchia, let's make him Chayev Shavua from the Shtayim Ochsin case, because of Rav Nachman. What did Rav Nachman say? It's not Mana Libiyadcha. You owe me $100. And the Chabiyadi Pater. Right? I say, never happened. I'm Kleifer Bakal. So then I should be Pater, right? Amar of Nachman, Mashbiyan Azor Shavuas Eses. So Nachman says, but we, even though he's Pater, Rav Nachman says, we make him make a Shavuas Eses. The Rav Nachman is a Takanta. The Takanta, the Takanta, law of Dinan. This is, okay. But then Rav Nachman himself, Shavuas Eses is only a Takana. And we wouldn't flip the shvua of a takana, right, in order so that to make sure that the shvua happens when the person who's supposed to make it is chasha al shvua and can't make it, right? And therefore, you wouldn't be able to flip around the shvua. Okay, so it says like this: if in the case of the roe, right, our polyphemus, our cyclops. Right? We don't just call people, you know, you there, you know, homo sapien. We usually call them by their name. I think his name is Polyphemus. So Polyphemus, we say, we have edim that you ate two of the sheep. We're choshed you ate the rest of the sheep, right? So if you hold a Reb Chia, so we should make you make a shvua because of mod b'miktas, ayide edim, right? Or edim b'miktas, we'll call it, right? And since you're a goslin, because we saw you eat the sheep and you lied about it and claimed that you didn't, you clearly are a thief. So since you've been proven a thief, you can't make the Shavua. So now Odysseus gets to make the Shavua to collect the Nishba Venot on that. Okay? So now the Gemara says, well, even if you don't hold of Reb Chiya, right, we should be able to be flip the Shavua and make him pay based on Reb Nachman. So our answer is no, because Reb Nachman's Shavua Tesis, when he's Kofer Bakal, he's a Takanta. And Takanta la Takanta lo Avdina. Right? Its idea is, we have this idea of Shavua Tesis for some reason or other, because we want to accomplish something, right? But if we can't do it because the guy's Chashar al Shavua, we don't then turn around and say, so we'll have the Toein make the Shavua and then collect. Okay? Takanta lo Avdinan, right? Just because, you know, we want to, like, fix something, we want to take into account some sort of benefit that we'll get from it or some sort of eventuality, right? But we're not going to have a contingency plan for our contingency plan for something that's only, right, a takana to, like, fix some sort of problem. Wait a second. Why do we need to prove that he's a thief? We should just have him be puzzled because he's a roe, right? Vamar of Yehuda, stam roe is puzzled. They just know this. Shepherds in general are considered to be thieves, right? Because they have their sheep graze in stolen land. Lo kasha, hadide, hada alma. Hey, this is when it's his and this is when it belongs to other people. Dilo temahachi, anan chiyusa l'roa, hechamasrinan. How do we give sheep to a shepherd to watch if we're assuming that the shepherd's going to graze them in other people's private property? Right? So the answer is, right? Okay, and we know there's a rule that you can't put a stumbling block before the blind. You can't give somebody something that they're going to then do an avera with. People don't sin if they don't get anything out. Okay, so in the case of a roe, the shepherd is only going to raise his flocks in private property if it's his sheep, because then he gets the benefit, right? They're eating someone else's nice grain. But if not, if it's somebody else's, so then he's just going to graze it in public property and he won't do any averos. And then it's also, you're allowed to give it to him. And then he's also not necessarily assumed to be possible to eat. Okay. So the important thing here from all of that in our Shakal of the Gemara, I just brought it all in because it's our Gemara, is that Rav Nachman says, right, that we, even when there's no modem mixas, we make him make a shvua of shvua's hat. Okay? Just the continuation is interesting because it gets us to the discussion of when do we say that you can't make somebody make a shvua? We don't want to make him make a shvua. We're not allowed to make him make a shvua because he's a gazlan, because he's chashud, because he's a roe, right? And stuff like that. Rachel, yes.
So I had a question on why the gazlan shouldn't be making a shvua. Because, like, when we talked about shvua mode of mixas, part of it, the reason why we want him to make a shvua is because he looks sketchy. Right. So if he's a goslin, then we should make him make a shvua because maybe it will stop him.
Okay, very good. So that, actually, our next sugya is exactly going to be that, is, like, wait a second, right? We should be torn between these two options. On one hand, if he's sketchy, so then all the more so we should make him make a shvua. Okay. On the other hand, if he's a gazlan, maybe we shouldn't believe his shvua. Okay. Our assumption is right now is that since he's a gazlan, he is not able to make a shvua. He's puzzled a shvua because he's, you know, did you guys, did something bad just happen to this or not?
You may have frozen.
Am I still moving?
You're moving. You're moving.
Have the
loading. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Fine, that was strange. That's got one of those pop-ups, and it seemed like it was going to, like, log me out, break down something, but it did not. Baruch Hashem. Yeah, so the assumption here is that a gazlan is possible a shvua, which is true, right? A gazlan cannot make a shvua, and that's why we have this whole idea of, like, flipping the shvua, that the person who is kinegdo is going to have to make the shvua. For example, let's say someone's chayav a shvua smodim miktas, or you have eid echad. Eid echad comes and says, you, sir, stole from Bob, right? So now you're chayav a shvua. The problem is that this guy is a professional thief. We all know he's a thief. We've caught him like 100 times, right? So now one aid comes and says, yeah, well, now this is time number 101. So he's puzzled a shvua. But he's chayav shvua because Eirechav is mechayav shvua. So what do we do? So the answer is that the person who got robbed, right, can swear that he stole it and then be goven. Okay? So yeah, so the assumption is that a gazlan is possible. Why is something we'll discuss later? Yeah, Keila, you had a question?
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand the Rav Nachman Takantahi. What is the scope of the Takana? Is it this particular case, or is the Shua Heset wider than that?
Oh, very good. Okay, so that is exactly what we will dive right into. What is the scope of this Shua Heset? Why on earth do we do it? We just went into why Modeh Miktsas is Dafka Modeh Miktsas, right? And why Halach undermines the Modeh Miktsasness, and which is why there would be no Shavua. So if our whole back and forth, our whole sugya so far has been about how it's all about Modeh Miktsas, why suddenly are we Mashabia people Shavua Hes? Absolutely. Okay? So, first of all, just what does Heses mean? Heset? So Rashi says it's Shavuot Heset. Okay, which is a shvua shehesito chachamim lekach lehasito lehodot. It is the oath of nudgings. Okay, which I love that name, right? And it is meant to do the nudging. Okay, v'taima mefarish b'shvuos chazaka in adam toin elim kain yeshlo biyad. Okay, the Gemara in Shvuos says chazaka in adam toin elim kain yeshlo. You only go up to somebody and say you owe me money if they really owe you money, right? It's very odd and very unusual for someone to go up to someone random and claim that they owe them money. It's not uncommon for people to deny owing money, right? Everyone who owes money, I think, deep down wants to deny owing money, right? But most people who are not owed money don't go around and don't have this urge to go and claim that other people owe them money, unless they're like pathological or you know, they figured out a good system of like, you know, defrauding people. But, right, that's not the norm. It's definitely not very common for people to claim money that there's no basis for them to be owed. Okay, so says Rashi, what's the point of the shvua? It's a shvua that the chachamim are using to nudge him to confess. Okay? So basically, we think this guy, the toin was toin. He claimed that you owe him money. The assumption is that you probably, in fact, do owe money because otherwise, right? Why would this guy be claiming that you owe him money? Which makes sense, I think. And then comes around the chachamim and say, okay, this guy claims you owe him money, right? He probably wouldn't do that unless you actually owed him money. So we can't be mechayiv mamon because that's not proof that you owe him money, right? There are other explanations. He could be mistaken. He could be making it up, right? But we'll make you make this shvua in order to get you to confess. So the chachamim are making the shvua to nudge you into confession, or into right admitting the debt that you might really owe. Okay. Right, and then Gemara and Bava Metzia and Daf Mem. Manali biyadcha enlecha biyadi pater. I'm Rav Nachman mashbino so shvua tesis. My taima chazaka in adam tovea elam kein yesh lo olam. Adraba. Okay, so that's right. The first line, right, definitely works. The idea is that since the guy was toein, we assume that he probably is in line. Adraba, chazaka in adam meyus panav b'fnei balchova. They know, right? There's a chazaka that people aren't meyus panav b'fnei balchova, and that he won't deny it to his face. And so it's ishtamut dehude kamishtamim. Savar ad havaliu paranale. No, right? He's pushing it off, pay the repayment. And he's thinking, oh, until I have money, I'll push him off. Teda, the amr of idi bar av, amr of chizda. A kofer b'milve kasha le'idos b'kadon posulate. This is going to get into our next segia. Right, someone who's kofer b'milve, who denies owing money that was a loan, is still kasha le'idos. The guy really owes the money, and the guy comes and says, you owe me money. He says, no, I don't. He's still kasha le'idos. Why? So the answer is because people justify it to themselves. Ishtamu tihudu kamishtami. He's not really trying to steal. He needs more time to pay back, and he's taking license with the law. Now, is that legal? No, right? But if, you know, neither is jaywalking, right? The fact that something is or is not legal doesn't necessarily mean that the people who do it, right, see themselves as violating the law, right? And that they, in terms of their rishus hagavra, in terms of how we view them as human beings, right, is not necessarily only dependent on whether or not what they're doing is legal. Okay? Jaywalking is a little more complicated because it might not, you know, just because if it's on the books but no one respects it, is it really law? If it's not like divine law, right? Gets into the whole question of like human laws, like where does their authority come from? Yeah, so a kofar b'milveh is kashleidus, but a pikadon is pasleidus. Because if I actually have your phone, your, I don't know, your potatoes in my kitchen, in my living room, I don't know, wherever it is, and I refuse to give it back, so then I'm stealing your object, right? Okay, right? So what's the problem with this, by the way? Just send up some of our antennas. It's very subtle because it makes perfect sense because you've seen this Gemara before, right? That's what you're thinking, like, wait, why? What's wrong with it? This is perfect. We know this. We've talked about this like 10 times. We talked about this in a slightly different context.
Well, when we used the word pikadon, I was just thinking of the Moda B'Miksah case because that was Rashi's,
right.
Rashi's take.
Exactly. Oh, so, okay, what's the difference here? Here we're talking about Kovar Bakol. What's the problem?
Uh-oh. Need more hints. Kofar. When she bought Moda B'Miksah, it was he already had it, so there was no case. It was never a transferred ownership or something like that.
It was before, meaning only the very beginning of Shvuas Moda B'Miksah. So we're talking about why is there a Shvuas Moda B'Miksah, right? So we had, oh, we're Mashmino, so, right? Because Chazaka Inodam Tovel and Kenyesh. He says, oh, Chazaka Inodam is Panav Vifnei Balchovo. So he said, oh, Ishtamut Ehudikum Ishtame, right?
But if you...
Sabrad the Yav Liu Paranu, right? Right? Umashmino, so, Kidei Shiyode.
He wouldn't be able to make a Shvua if you hold that Moda B'Miksah applies in Pikadon.
No, so I'm just asking like more like conceptually, just more broadly and conceptually. I'm not giving enough hint. I'll just come out and say it.
Oh yeah, it's you not giving enough hint. That's the issue.
I mean, I'm not. You know, whenever like in class, there's always like the Rebbe says like, okay, you're saying good, now say better. You know, and it's like, I don't know. What do you want me to say?
Like, that was the best I got. Yeah.
So. By Shvuas Moda B'Miksah, or part of our whole claim was that because, right, Chazaka Inad Amei is Panav Vifnei Baal Chovo, therefore he has to be he's going to be Moda B'Miksah, but he's only be Moda B'Miksah, but not Bakol, in order to be Ishtamut Ehudik HaMishtam anyway, right? But here, we're using that same logic, but on Kofar Bakol. But doesn't that kind of undermine our whole argument until of Moda B'Miksah? Or not all of it, because other people, right, have said like, oh, actually, no, it's totally not really based on that assumption. But if you think it's like the Raglayim L'Davar, right, of, oh, Chazak and Adomei is Panav, and that's why he's being Moda B'Miksah, but Ishtamuti Kamishtame, which is why he's being Kofar B'Miksah also. So then you'd say, oh, that's the Raglayim L'Davar, which leads to Moda Chiyuv Shvua of Moda B'Miksah, right? Ishtamut Ehudik HaMishtamei, though, was an outgrowth of the Hoda B'Miksah. Right? Here, there's no Hoda B'Miksah. He's Kofar Bakal. In which case, we should say, Chazak Ein Adamei is Panav Vifnei Baal Chovo, and there's no Chashash of Ishtamut Ehudik HaMishtamei, right? I mean, the logic of Moda B'Miksah was Dafka, the Pashto said, it's because of the Hoda B'Miksah is what leads us to think Ishtamut Ehudik HaMishtamei. Here, the Gemara is just saying, oh, right? Chazak Ein Adam Toveya Elan Kein Yeshlo. In other words, Panav Vifnei Baal Chovo, but maybe Ishtamut Ehudik HaMishtamei. And therefore, we have a reason to believe that maybe he really owes the money and he's just trying to weasel out of it. Yeah.
Well, I don't remember it so well because I haven't seen it in like a week or so. But if I'm not mistaken, the Rambam groups these all together and I found that kind of funny and I wasn't sure why he was calling Shvua Moda B'Miksah, Shvua Heset, along with Kofar Bakol and a whole bunch of other things. So maybe it's because of that. Maybe it has something to do with this.
The Rambam, if I remember, I think what you're talking about is the Rambam's talking about Halach, right? where he explains how Halach is like a case of Kovar Bakol.
But doesn't he include Modeh B'Mikdat in the list there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'll look it up. I remember. We have to look it up. Not that I recall. Mm-hmm. But could be on that. I'm just not remembering what you're talking about. So this is, I think the strange here in the Gemara is, right, the Gemara is just bringing Ishtamut Ehud Kamishtami Lay, which we were talking about before as like the, you know, the key Sivara of Modeh B'Mikdat, right? Modeh B'Mikdat leads us to think Ishtamut Ehud Kamishtami, but not Kofar Bakol. Our whole point was that we thought Kofar Bakol is not leading to Ishtamut Ehud Kamishtami, right? So Rav Chaviva is Masmi Aseifa. He has the same, a very similar, you know, exposition of Shuas Hesis, but the case is a little bit different. Hey, yeah, note what the difference is. Okay, Rav Chaviva says, "Oh, this whole discussion of Rav Nachman by Shuas Hesis is on the Seifa. Mana li biyadcha, amar lo hein." He says, "Yomi $100," and he says, "Yep." L'machar amar lo teneo lis. The next day he comes and says, "Can I have my $100?" He says, "What? Natati l'vcha pat." Okay, he says, "I gave it to you." So he says, "No, we're talking about I already paid you." So he's pater. The Omar of Nachman Mashmino so Shvuas Hasis. And that's when we do Shvuas Hasis. So Manda Masmi Aresha, Kolcha Kena Seifa. The person who says that you do it in a case where he's Kofar Bakol, right? In Lachabiyadi, I never owed you any money. Kolcha Kena Seifa, then definitely in the case in the Seifa where he admitted he owed him money and then the next day he claims he paid it back. Manda Masmi La Seifa, Achahu the Ika Drar de Mamona, Aval Hasim de Leka Drar de Mamona La. But if you only have it on the Seifa, right, in the case where he admitted that there was really a debt, then we'll say, we know that you owed a debt, right? You admitted that you owed him money. Now you're claiming that you paid back. So then we'll say, okay, right, there's a Drar de Mamona. But Hasam de Leika Drar de Mamona alone. Because you're just Kofar Bakol, you deny that anything ever happened. Okay? Now, the idea of Drar de Mamona, why would Drar de Mamona potentially play a big role? There are a lot of different reasons why, right? Just finding, throw them out. Throw out ideas. I would say, like, the easiest way to think of it is to, like, in your head, just make a list of the three main parties and why, according to, like, you know, according to each one, it could be relevant.
Sorry, would you mind repeating the question?
Yeah, why would Drar de Mamona dafka lead us to say that you need to make a Shuas Hasis? It's pretty intuitive, but like why, I need to say in a more formalistic sense, like what, you know, direct causes could you put down?
Okay, I'm thinking about it along the lines of Rashi, right? That once you have a claim that you really want to be Mevarer, you, like Shvot Heset comes in for that kind of function. And he phrases it in terms of the Chazaka when someone claims. But once you say to someone, you owe me money, and they say, yes, I do, that claim is so much more validated. You can throw in Tana Cheshuva, you can throw in Raglan Ledavar, there's just so much more to work with. And there's more entitlement to that money.
Okay, right. So one option to say it focuses on the towing, right? He is, you know, it sort of strengthens our chazaka in adam tovea elam kein yeshlo, right? His claim, you know, is a much more relevant claim when we know it has some sort of, some sort of relevance, right? If it's been totally denied, so we have no reason to give it any credence. Maybe he wouldn't be towing Alan Kane Yershlo, but maybe yeah. Right? So that particular distinction is just okay, you know. He just claimed it. But if we know that there was actually some sort of real relevance to the claim, we don't know if he actually is owed money, right? That's a whole different level, right? But maybe that strengthens his claim. Okay, so that's about the towing, the person making the claim. How else could it be relevant? That's very good.
It would make the defendant more likely to lie because he has a loss of money.
Okay, just sharpen that. I think I understand what you're saying.
My understanding of Gerard de Mimona is he has some kind of monetary relationship to it. And when we talked about it last time, we were saying that that gives him more of a chazaka that his claim is correct. But I guess I understood it the opposite, that if he has a loss of money, he's going to do anything it takes, even lying. So we would want him to make kashua because we're scared he's lying.
I mean, I think what you're saying is like, it makes him a little more sketch, or in the sense that, I wouldn't say necessarily more sketchy, it doesn't actually make him more suspicious, right? But what it does, and I like the way you're saying, is that he has money on the line, and we know he has cash on the line, right? If a guy comes up to you and says, oh, you owe me money, and he says, no, I don't, right? So we never knew, and we never have any reason to think that this guy, right, has money on the line in this discussion. The guy claims, the guy denies it, whatever, right? In the second case where there's a Gerard de Mimona, this is actually cool, because what does Gerard de Mimona mean is a big machlokes rishonim. And one answer is that it gives like a stronger like chazaka to the claim, that there's like real sort of like momentum to the claim. There's real like reason to believe that it has some sort of real feet to it, you know. There's some sort of like real reason to believe that something might be going on, or that there's a real monetary claim. The other is hefsed mamon. One of the Rishonim says that Gerard de Mimona means hefsed mamon, and what you're saying is like, oh, here the guy admits, right? We know that mana haya lo biyado, right? And now he's claiming he paid back. Right, so we know that there's a debt. By claiming to pay back, he saves himself the money that he would have to pay back. Right, we know that he has money on the line because we know there's a debt. So now he's somebody who we know has the threat of, you know, of debt hanging over his head, which is a very different person than a random guy on the street. Right, how do we evaluate people? So your random person on the street, how likely is he to tell you the truth on something random? The answer is, you know, probably tell you the truth, right? If it's going to cost him money, if we know that it's going to cost him money, right? So we obviously are much more suspicious of him, okay? So it's not saying like Raglaim Ladeva that he's lying as much as saying that because there would be a clear hefsed mamon, right? There is definitely money on the line, so that raises our level of chashash that he might not be telling the truth. Okay, what's the, let's say, I mean, there are more options, but I would say like the obvious third option. I think party number three. It's also convenient because this party always has to have at least three. There are a third party made up of a third party and a three party.
That was a very good hint.
I'm getting better as the shiur goes on. Bezdin, right?
Yeah.
Bezdin is our third party, who is also a party of three. And perhaps, right, what this does, the idea of Gerard de Mimona, at least the way Tosos understood it in the, you know, back on Daf Bet, was Gerard de Mimona meant there's a safe klape the dayanim, right? Even before the people open up their mouth and start making claims, there's already the dayanim already, you know, have a suffix. They already see that there's a case here, right? So, right, I think that would say like, oh, there's some sort of standing in Bezdin. Once there's a case in front of the Dayanim, or the Dayanim, right, see, you know, evidence, or they see clues that there's a court case going on, or there's an issue here, so then they can impose a Shavua, right? Mashbiya nosa, Shavua hasas, who's the Mashbiya? Right? Who's making them swear? It could be that Bezdin is the one coming and making them swear, right? And by doing that, Bezdin comes in and says, oh, we're going to make you make a shvua, shvuas hases, because Bezdin sees from the Gerard de Mimona, right, that there's a, you know, there's a mystery here that needs to be solved, right? They want to be mevarer, you know, whose mamon it is. There's a suffix klape Bezdin. Bezdin says, oh, we'll use a shvua. We'll pull out from our toolkit the shvua, and we'll make the Mikashua in order to clarify this issue. Okay, so those are our three dudes. Lumaskana, Tosfos says, In Chabiyadi Pater from Rav Nachman, Mehacha Mashma de Halacha Kilishnakama, de Perak Shivus Adayanim, de Lo Bai Dror de Mamona, Ella Afilu Kofer Hakol Chayv Shvuas Asses, Midolo Maisi Hacha Seifa, de Natati Vilcha Pater, the Chain Pierce Bisharam de Rav Haigon, Vi Tain. Okay. Let's say he says, I have no idea what you're talking about. Could be, but I just don't remember that. So he has to swear that he doesn't remember that. Okay. But says Tosfos, and says this is also what Rav Haigon Paskins, you don't need Dvar D'Mamona at the end of the day. Okay. Now that is, on the one hand, kind of, you know, this whole Dvar D'Mamona thing is new, right? It only came up later in the Gemara, and our Gemara never mentioned anything like that. On the other hand, right, and that's what Tosos is saying, right? Well, our Gemara totally ignores this idea of Jared Mamona, so it must be that it's relevant, right? On the other hand, after we explain Jared Mamona, you know, it's a little bit hard to walk away because they were just very good explanations of why there's this thing called Shuas Hasif, right? Without it, without Jared Mamona, we're suddenly like, wait a second, why are we making a Shuas Hasif? Right? But Tosfos says, like, our Gemara totally ignores the idea of Jared Mamona. So it's mashma, that's the halacha. Okay? Tosfos in Shvuos, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, Hasta lo itmar hilchasa kichad mehanach lishni, hecha delika Jared Mamona lo mashvien lay misafik, amot mechavel faraya. Right? So Rabbeinu Tam says, no. Right? You don't make a Shvuos hases if there is you don't make a Shavuot Hases if there's no Dvar D'Mamona, because the Gemara never tells you, and in cases of Mamonos, the Gemara doesn't paskin one or the other, then we are holeich, like Likula, which means Hamotzim Chavel of Haraya. So you can't make him swear. Okay, then what about our Gemara? Right? The Riva asks the Kasha, what about our Gemara? So the Rabbeinu Tam says, no. Right, when Tam Doche, Dikle Meimar, the Hasam Risha de Mil Sanaka, Umiseifa Parech, says Rabbeinu Tam, you can't bring our Gemara as proof that there's a Shvuas Hases even when there's no Dvar D'Mamona, because you're right, it only quotes the beginning of the Braisa, right? But it happens all the time in Shas that we quote the beginning of the Braisa, and implied is that you should continue and read the rest as well, right? So says Rabbeinu Tam, right? Really, and Adrabba, the case there with the Roe is like a super duper great example of Dvar D'Mamona, right? You can't get a better Dvar D'Mamona than that, right? We saw the guy eat two of them, right? We give them him the sheep every single day, right? So we know he's the Kavua Roe. We know that we always give him the sheep. Suddenly the sheep are gone, right? And you know, it's the afternoon, and he's like, oh yeah, you never gave it to me this morning. You just never noticed it. They disappeared suddenly. And we have Aiden that he ate some of them, right? So that's like a perfect Dvar D'Mamona. And that's why he needs to say make a Shavuos Hases. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, right, like, it sounds like even more powerful than we were thinking before. It's like, wow, like, Shavuos Hases is really dependent on this Dvar D'Mamona and this, like, Raglayim L'davar that, you know, he really, there's real suspicion here. Rav Haigon Pirish, de lo mashbien le, ella mishtamtin le, al tnai shehe bishamtin hu chayev einu mashali. Okay, so Rav Haigon comes up with like a third sort of pshara answer, because we don't necessarily make a shivua tesis, but what we can do instead is we could put him in cherem al tnai, right? So it's sort of like a similar idea, or it's like a way of accomplishing the same a similar idea. What's interesting about that is Rabbeinu Tam, I think, in some sense clearly illustrates in order to really make someone make a Shavua, you really need grounds for suspicion, right? You need grounds or standing in order to make them have to swear, right? According to Rav Haigon, it's clear that we really just want to impose this Shavua or this let's say the Shamta, this Cherem, to make sure that people don't just deny, you know, whenever they owe money because, oh, well, like just deny it and get off scot-free and no one's going to make me pay. And no one has any way of proving it or even forcing it or even scaring me with a Shavua, right? So we say, look, buddy, you're in Cherem if you're Chayav Mamon and you don't pay it. Because we want to make sure that he pays, right? And what? Otherwise, everyone could just run around and never, ever, and just not admit to owing money, right? And we have no way to enforce it. Now, the answer is that part of the problem in life is yes, right? It's very hard to enforce crimes that we don't have proof for, right? And lots of crimes get done in ways which we don't have proof for. So that is a problem. And Rav Hagelin says, oh, so we can conditionally, right, condemn them without, you know, without needing any necessary, you don't even need to make them make a shavua, we could just put them in chayram al tanai. If they're chayram and they're not paying them, they're chayram and they're, you know, they should be smitten. Okay? So it definitely shows like this desire to create a tool that will encourage slash force people not to deny their debts. Okay? Rabbeinu Tam, you clearly need real standing in order to create a chayav shavua. Okay. So, Lamaisa, right, Shua Tass says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is dafka with Drar de Mamona, according to Tosfos and Rav Haigon, even if there's no Drar de Mamona, as long as there's a taina, and the guy, even if the guy's kofar bakom. Okay. Says the Ritva. I'm Rav Nachman, Mashbinos of Shua Tassis, Perush, Bidorosh of Nachman Tiknu, the Nikra Shua Tassis, Lashon Hamlacha. So people just jump up and deny everything, right? Right? Why ever admit to owing money if you could just be kofar bakal? You say deny it, and no one will even make you make a shavua. Pirushim rabim nemru b'lashon hases. He says, I think this is the best. And I right, I think what his translation is, right? Lashon hamulacha ki yasitcha achicha ben imecha, right? I think it's like try to take someone, try to convince, right? It's like a way to convince him to be mode, right? Anyway, so I think it's somewhat trash at the end of the day. All right, well, what's the chashash? Ishtamute ishtame. Avogad ba mitzia amrinan lehegya de lotalina bahashmata bekofer bakal ella bimode mitza. So he says, wait a second. Ishtamutekam ishtame is what we're choshish for by modem miktas. And the whole point is that because he's modem miktas, we're choshish for ishtamutekam ishtame. Right? Zeho lived in Torah. Aval achronim samchulomar da'af bekofer bakal talina da'avid lishtamute. So he says, yeah, midal raisa, we're only choshish for ishtamutekam ishtame by kofer bakal. By modem miktas. But midrabanan aval achronim some chulomar the af bekofer bakol talina da avid lishtamute. He says, look, later the achronim, the rabbanan, right? You're right. There's middle raisa. We only get to a real chashash of ishtamute. That's enough to create trigger a shvua doraisa by modim mixas. But midrabbanan, right? We rely on the fact that there is a chashash, or we are choshesh for ishtamute kamishtam, and therefore we create a shvua tassis. Okay, so really, midoraisa, you're right. There's no chashash ishtamute kamishtame by kofer bakal. Midrabanan, right? We say, yeah, we're still worried for that. Okay. The Meiri, though, says something very interesting. Shavuos heses uperusha lashon hamlacha ve'etza. Okay, it's an advice, which is interesting, right? Milashon yesitcha shepirusha amye arei yamalchinacha kolomar. Achronim, al kach Kisharo hadoros mi'izim likfiras halvaotehem. Okay, this is what the shvua is. Etza, right? It's advice. And who's it advice? It's not advice for a nudge to the person who's denying, to the loveh, the borrower, right? It's etza of the chachamim between them. Shenimlechu chachamim achronim nityatzu b'nehem. They saw everyone's going around and just denying their debts, right? They were mityaetz shvuat heset shehesitu b'nehem between the chachamim to figure out what to do about it, right? They saw that there may is to be kofer b'halvotehem, and therefore they're mitakin this shvua. Okay. And what's also interesting is that the Ritva says, "Oh, midoraisa rechoshish for shtamute only by modim mektas. Midorabanan rechoshish for shtamute even by kofar bakal." The Meiri kind of sounds like midoraisa, right? There's ishtamute kamishtame in chakin adameis panav. Once the chachamim saw that people are meis panav, right? So we're just kind of like applying the idea of the shvua already. That's kind of one extreme way to look at it. So it's almost like, I mean, the Ritva saying there's the Doraisa, and the Rabbanon are kind of using it, right? Achronim samchu lomar da'af bekovra kol talinan da'aveh lishtamute. Right? We're like using it as a tool, right? And we're saying, oh, look, we kind of want to deal with this problem. So we are being choshesh for ishtamute, okay? Midrabbanon. So it's like there are different, there's like ishtamute midoraisa. Midrabbanon, they're using the tool of chashash ishtamute, right? And we're being so mechanic. Says the Meiri, it sounds like, no, we saw that there may is l'kfiras halvotayim, right? Therefore, like chazak and adam may is panav isn't really applicable. And therefore, the rachachamim were mityaetz b'nehem and either an applied shvuas, the shvua also to kofar bakol, right? Now, technically, it's not daraisa, but they're really just expanding or applying the idea of the midaraisa or the shvua daraisa to another case. Right? They were mityaetz. They saw that there may is, and therefore they applied it to the further scope. And they broadened the scope of Shuas Mother Mektas to even be Kofar Bakal. Or, right, it's Eitzah of the Chachamim and has nothing to do with Ishtamute and has nothing to do with Shvua Daraisa, Chazakin of the Meiz Panav, and it's totally Takana Darabana. Right? I mean, the fact that it's Eitzav, the Chachamim, could either be Nityahatsu, and they saw that they were being Meiz, so they expanded, they saw that like, really the Daraisa should expand and apply to these cases as well. The Daraisa doesn't, right? But the Rabbanan are expanding the Daraisa, or it could be that he's saying, no, it's totally like a Yesh Me'ayin, new creation of the Rabbanan. I'm inclined to the first way, but you could read it also the second way. But the idea is that, right, the Chachamim were nityaetz b'nehem because they saw that this is happening. For the Ritva, his point is there's this idea of ishtamute. Really, ishtamute applies to motiv b'mektas. The Chachamim are coming and applying ishtamute also beyond that, and they're using it, right, as a way to create shvuas hasas. If you look at Tosos, on Daf Vav, Hadam Rav Nachman, Tema, Ahocha Nami Mishtami. He says, wait a second, right? Now he's also being mishtami. Yesh lomar derav Nachman mechayev shvuas hasas afilu hecha shetovo v'amar zeh hachevet shubiyadur shalihu delo shayach ishtamute. This is, sounds like Rav Nachman would apply it even in a case where there's no ishtamute. V'chim pirish of haigon, the mishbiyin shvuas hasas akarkos afal gav delo shayach bu ishtamute v'kashe. He said, I don't get it. Sounds like Rav Nachman says it across the board, right? Anytime you're a kofar bakal, you're chayav shvuas hasas. Even if there's no, it's about a pikadon, right? But what do we say about pikadon? Right, we say about pikadon, there's no ishtamute, right? Mashma delo mechayav shvuas hasas, el mishom ishtamute, de kaparech adraba, in other ways, mushani de mishtame, right? The whole point in the Gemara in Shvuas, on Mamma Mudbeis, was that, and that's why we have Shvuas Hasas. V'yishlo markivan de b'she'ino be'en mishtame afkishu be'en lo plug rabbanan. Right? So says Tosfos, you're right. Really, Rav Nachman is being choshes of ishtamute kamishtame. Right? Really, the whole Shavua test is actually just a direct result of ishtamute kamishtame. But, right? But what? But lo plug, and therefore we just apply it to all kofar bakals, even when it's not applicable. But fundamentally, it's a way of dealing with ishtamute kamishtame. Okay, what about modim miktas? Didn't we say that it's really din modim miktas? Right? So the Meiri and the Ritva basically said, like, oh yeah, and the Chachamim came and expanded it, right? Either the Ritva says because, right, they expanded it, they used it, or because the Meiri says they saw that people changed and got, you know, more brazen and worse, right? Tosfos and Shavuot says, Adrabein Adem Meiz, Im Tomar, Amrinan Pirkin, Mipnei Ma Amra Torah, Modim Miktas Atayna Yishava, Chazakin Adem Meiz, Panu Bifnei Bachovo. It applies to both kofar bakol and modim mixas, right? But what? But it's chazak and adam meis panav gets rid of his migu that he could have been kofar bakol. But really, both of them are ishtamut kamishtami. Right? Both of them are kamishtame. And you're right that you're more, let's say, ishtemute kamishtame by modi b'miktas than by kofar bakol, because ain lo kokach panam lik for hakol k'mo lik for b'miktas, right? So it's easier, it's nicer, it's less difficult to be ishtemute kamishtame by kofar bakol, right? But it's still just, it's a lower level of ishtemute kamishtame. Okay. Finally, I'm just going to, we'll end with, I think, this Tosfos. Tosfos in Kiddushin, this is kind of agav, but I think this is it's also very telling. Tosfos in Kiddushin is talking about the following case, where you have two people who are edim, but they, for some reason, from very complicated dini mamonos reasons, in theory, they could benefit from their edus, okay, but only, but they could be pater with the shvuas hases, okay. So hashter the talking about shvuas hases. V'im tomar. So here's the case, right? You have two edim who were two shluchim who were shluchim to give money to somebody else, okay. Now since they are neman with shvuas hases to be pater, right? The guy says, oh, I, and they say they gave it to Bob. Right, A gives it to the shlichim give it to Bob. Now they want to be meyer that they gave it to Bob. What's the problem? If they say, oh, we lost it, or oh, we, I don't know, we threw it in the garbage, they'd be chayv, right? So A could come to them and say, where's my money? And they would have to make a shvuas heses that they did not keep it for themselves, right? Because they're shlichim, he gave them a bunch of money, and they have to, right? If, you know, he could make a shuas hasis that they, I don't know, didn't toss it in the garbage or keep it for themselves. So then the Gemara says that therefore they can't be edim that they gave it to B because they benefit from the edos that they gave it to B because now A can't claim it from them. So that asks in Tomar mikol makom lama lo yiyu ha'edim ne'manim la'achar shenishbu. Lomar paranu. Sharei shuv einam nogim be'edas. So wait a second. Why can't they just make a shvuas heses and then be kosher leidos afterwards, right? The whole problem is what? Is that before we could believe them, they would have to make a shvuas heses because otherwise they're also on the line for him to claim the money from them. So the omeri, delakach einam ne'manim la'achar shenishbu, mishum derachmana amar al pishnayim edim yakum davar, Mashma ha'ne'emanim b'dibor bilvad. Is that they're believed by their dibor bilvad. We trust their word. In order to be an aid, says the Ri, we need to believe you. We need to have complete faith in your word, right? Aval ha'edim ha'te'unim shlishava kodem she'yamnu divrehem in mamish be'edusam. But if they have to swear before we can believe them, so we don't actually believe them on their own word, right? Needing to make a shvua. Okay? What does that mean? So I think what that helps us in the context of shvuas heses is this to say that there's a real chashash when we need shvuas heses, right? We are doubting this person. We are being choshesh that he's ishtavute, right? The shvuas heses isn't just a takana, right? A stam takana for whatever reason, right? It's kidei shena'amin lahem. It's so that we could actually believe them. And there's a pigam in their edus, right? Because we don't believe them on the get-go. We only believe them after they kind of bolster their believability with the shvuas heses, okay? Or once they get rid of the chashash of ishtamute kamishtamet or something like that. So it kind of shows is that the reason we make a shvuas heses is because we don't actually believe them, right? If it was some sort of like random takana for whatever other reason, so then, okay, why should that impact their edos? I think the reason saying is like, because we don't actually believe them, right? The whole idea of shvuas heses is that we don't trust you. We are choshed you. We are really suspicious that maybe, you know, you owe the money and you're just denying it. And the ripple or the, you know, the knock-on effect to edos is that, well, we didn't believe you until now, so we can't suddenly start believing you, right? Edos is all about you having our absolute trust and confidence. Right, so far, right, shvuas heses is a chashash ishtamute, right? We're worried the guy owes him money and he's just trying to avoid it. And the Ritva and the Meiri said that very, very strongly, right? It's chashash ishtamute. It's being either Ritva more because we're using that din d'oraisa, the Meiri more is like, oh, because we see that that's just really true and that's really just what people, you know, are doing. Tosfos says, and therefore, if it was be'en, so there's no chashash ishtamute, really there shouldn't be a shvua, right? It would only be because of lo plug. And Tosfos and Shua says, there are different dargos of ishtamute, right? Modim mixas, kofar bakol, kofar bedavar shaben, right? These are different levels. If it's a halva, then modim mixas is like the most clear example of ishtamute. Then you have a case of kofar bakol, which is like medium ishtamute. And if it's a pikadon, so it's the Gemara and like Tosas explains, oh, well, maybe he lost the pikadon and now he's looking for it, right? He's starting to find it. So he doesn't want to admit that he lost it because then he has to pay. He says, oh, no, I never got it. He's going to look around his house, try to find it, and then he'll return it once he finds it, right? So there are all these different ways of seeing ishtamute. Obviously, Modi Mikdas is the most ishtamute. It's very clear, almost clear that he's pushing it off, right? The others can also be. So we have lowering levels of chashash, of suspicion that he's doing ishtamute. And Tosfos in Kiddushin, right, says, oh yeah, we really just don't believe him, right, entirely. And that's why we have a shvuas heses. And that also is going to impact on their ability to be eidim. Okay? So this is like one big gisha towards shvuas heses, is that it's really in many ways like in this continuation of mod mixas, right, at least from the side of raglaim ladavar or taina chashuva, right, or Bezdin sees the chashash ishtamute and they demand, right, a further clarification, right? And all that, right, really I think ties in, and it's really nice that the Miri and the Ritva really do this, is that it really ties into the idea of modim mixas, assuming, right, that's how you understand modim mixas in these sorts of terms, that we have this chashash, we have this knowledge that sometimes people are trying to push off repayment, and therefore it has a knock-on effect that if there's a modim mixas, so we really are choshesh, there's a shvu d'oraisa. If there's kofar bakol, but chazakin adam kohen v'lo lo, so then we still suspect that is ishtamute, and therefore we're trying to nudge him, as Rashi says, into confessing, right? We're trying to give him a reason to do the right thing and to be honest. Okay, we're going to stop here, so I want to go over time, and we'll pick up on Wednesday, part two. And feel free to ask me if you have questions, to just shoot me a WhatsApp.